It's worth noting here at the end of the hour that the urban planning movement got its start a long time ago, not out of an enlightened sense of how to fashion human settlements, but as a way of stopping the out-of-control expansion of urban America. In the spirit of Jane Jacobs at her centennial, and beginning with the urban political revolution of Fiorella LaGuardia in the 1930s, the people's voice would be heard regarding who could build and what could be built in New York City.
We are fighting this vicious machine, whether it is the machine of Manhattan or the machine of the Bronx. It is the only hope of rescuing and saving our New York City.
Fiorella LaGuardia may have fired the first shot in the 1930s, but it wasn't until the 1960s that a real mechanism was set up to hold developers accountable for their promises to the people. The community boards. They fought different machines. They fought the bulldozers and cranes of the real estate developers. Outside Hudson Yards on New York's High Line, with cranes all around us, the people in the neighborhood affected by this mega project are making sure that their voices are heard. Dolores Rubin currently lives in the same building where she grew up, about 15 blocks from Hudson Yards. She's now the chair of Manhattan's Community Board Number 4.
People do not want to mess with Community Board 4. Very true.
Rubin's responsibility running one of the oldest and most aggressive community boards is to make sure that neighborhoods and communities have just as much say as any developer in a big project. So that when Sidewalk Labs CEO and Hudson Yards developer Dan Doktoroff called the area a blank slate with only 9 residences, Rubin pushes back.
I know that stat has been quoted many times by Dan Doktoroff. Our community board has disputed that because there are residences that are interspersed throughout this area and that do comprise the outskirts.
Dolores Rubin says she also wants a clearer idea of what's coming in. Tall buildings, she hears from Jessica Scaparotti. How tall, asks Dolores.
This is our smallest building, right? 52 stories, and on site it's the smallest.
For Hudson Yard specifically, our major concern is the height.
The people of the related companies and the city and the community board are now partners here. Dolores Rubin and other members of Community Board 4 are critics, but they now have a stake in the smart city's idea succeeding.
Smart city is holistic planning and futuristic planning. It's not about looking at the next 5 to 10 years. It's looking out 30 to 50 years. It's thinking about what is the demographic that you're going to attract with what you're building and how that may develop over that time. Will we need more school seats? Will we need additional firehouses? Will we need additional police so that you can accommodate a generation that will be in this particular neighborhood?
Which means building schools.
Which does mean building schools. This particular project was forward-looking enough to add a school within the master plan. There also were a lot of other very interesting things that were added. So, for example, they were thinking about how to solve a quality of life issue. Garbage. Our garbage is piled up on a street. They have used pneumatic tubes that will be running underneath some of these buildings to suck those garbage bags underneath out of sight for collection. That was very forward-thinking. And as we look at even further, where climate change will affect every large city, and we are on a river, which after Sandy, we recognize that this particular area is vulnerable. When we didn't realize it was vulnerable, there was a lot of flooding through Chelsea, that the building needs to be smart as well as our environment shapes how we live.
What's the community board say about the fact that we're going to have tabs on everybody in this neighborhood? We got enough data to know who's shopping where, when, why, whose dog's being walked at what time. What's the community board say about that?
Well, even though privacy has been very much a hot topic in the last year, I would think that if you take a step back and think about what this data provides, it provides the information you need for better planning. It provides the information that you need to head off any potential concerns in the future. The community board is always seeking data. We happen to have many folks. Our previous chair, Christine Berte, was constantly gathering data and bringing that as evidence when we had developers come to say, this is what we're seeing in our neighborhood and here's the proof. And we make sure that it's not just an opinion or a feeling. It's backed by information that has been gathered, not just by us, but whoever gathers it. So there's not a concern overall about that data that's being gathered, because the data will be very, very helpful in improving the neighborhood overall. So I don't think that you will see much pushback from our particular community board. That does not mean that it doesn't create privacy concerns for others around the city.
People don't necessarily view the real estate wheelings and dealings in New York City as a democratic process, but you are the sort of outpost of democracy as part of the community board here. What's it like to face down some of these big players on some of the issues that you're concerned about?
Well, we're very lucky. Community Board 4's district, as I mentioned, is from 14th Street to 59th Street, 8th Avenue to the Hudson. It's a very large area that's had a lot of development. So the board itself has many longstanding members, so they're very familiar with the process. That helps, having people that are knowledgeable.
And but that's another way of saying people know not to mess with Community Board 4.
Yes, that's a very, very direct way of saying that people do not want to mess with Community Board 4. Very true. But one of the things that's been great in this process is because we're knowledgeable, we're not seen as an adversary or not seen as something that may derail or block a developer from bringing a vision together. What they see us as a partner. And also a litmus test. They'll come to our community board to go ahead and get an idea. Does this seem like a fit? What are some of the issues that the community may raise with this particular project, which is great. So there is a partnership. For Hudson Yard specifically, our major concern is the height. As we look around us right now, these buildings are very large, in large part out of character with some of the traditionally surrounding neighborhoods. We're going to see new buildings that have great amenities, that have incredible views, that are very modern, but we can't forget about the affordable housing stock that's already in existence, not just Chelsea Hell's Kitchen, but some of the surrounding areas right here, right on the periphery of Hudson Yards. This affordable housing stock have been buildings that are mostly low-rise, that have probably supported generations of family. These are at risk because as the properties around the Hudson Yards continue to crop up, and you do happen to have landlords who will take a look at this and see, how can I effectively renovate this property so that I can go ahead and turn it over? We may already see gentrification happening because of the property values around this area are skyrocketing as different businesses decide to come into this area. You happen to have restaurants that may come in or grocery stores that may come in that will cater to that higher price point. And that essentially prices out longstanding residents from their own neighborhoods.
Dolores Rubin is chair of Manhattan's Community Board Number 4. The plans are set. The cement has been poured at Hudson Yards. But the first, more commercial phase doesn't completely finish until 2018, when all the parks and plazas will open, including a statue that the developers are claiming will be New York's Eiffel Tower. The more residential phase 2 will begin in 2020. That will be completed in 2025. Chairman of Related Companies, Stephen Ross.
This is just a preview of what's to come, but I think you can see the quality of what we're doing here and what our vision is of what the next great neighborhood or new city within the city in New York will actually become.
The first building in a new neighborhood, a city within a city, this time with sensors, fibers, pneumatic tubes, and visions. It's all just waiting for the people.
But thank you all, and we look forward to seeing you in the fall of 18 when we open up the plaza and the next buildings and the retail, and you'll really see Hudson Yards unfold as we really vision it.
You can go along with us on video to see our trip to Hudson Yards and what the project currently looks like. Just go to facebook.com/thetakeaway. And if you want to take the takeaway with you, subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes. Take us with you on your commute home from work. Debate the smart city idea. Just have your friends listen to the podcast and argue with them. It's a great way to stay up on the news and have great conversations. Again, find us on iTunes or any other service you use to get your podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
PRI. Public Radio International.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of Science and Health News. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.